Good afternoon, everyone. It's Adam from Uberfoot 24 with my 30th stop off on my Welcome to Scotland series. I'm on the home straight now. I've done almost three quarters of the country, and I've come over to the west of Scotland again today in beautiful Dumbarton, and I'm here with Stephanie Park. Stephanie, how are you over there? Good afternoon.
Hi, Adam. I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm really looking forward to this one today. Dumbarton's one of those clubs it's always got, you know, beautifully idyllic location. So I'm looking forward to finding out more about it. But before we get started, a big shout out to Stella at Shoot the Defence. Stella, really appreciate all the hard work you do behind the scenes. And without you, the whole series wouldn't be possible. So a thank you to that. So Stephanie, can you tell everybody, all our listeners, you know, how you got started with the club and what your role is today with them?
Yes, Adam, I'm a lifelong Dumbarton supporter, having started going to the games when I was around about 13 years old. Instantly become addicted. I used to go to all the home games, away games, reserve games. My first ever job was working at Bulkhead in the snack bar. So I've come on a wee bit since then. About 20 years ago, myself and a group of other Dumbarton fans set up the Sons Trust, which was a group that was focusing on the club and how the club engaged with fans, so looking to develop and strengthen that relationship. So I was on the original board of that, and then continued doing various roles at the club prior to being voted onto the board. Last year, I was the hospitality manager and I'd be the person you'd see at the front door when you came in for your pre-game lunch and drinks and things. I really enjoy doing that. Yeah. And as I said, just about a year ago now, I got voted onto the board as the Sons Trust director on the board, so representing the fans. And it's interesting because although the club was formed in 1872, I'm actually the first female to ever be a director on the board. So I'm quite pleased at that.
Hey, congratulations. It's wonderful. Wonderful to hear. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. I mean, like you said, the club's been around since 1872. It's had some success along the years. Just briefly, you know, for people, just give a little brief overview how the club's grown and what have been the big successes over the years for people.
So as I said, we're the fourth oldest club in Scotland, with just Queen's Park, Manor, Stranraer, the ones that are slightly older than us. We've kind of had our ups and downs. 1985 was the last time we were at its top level. And we've been first, second, third division. At the moment, having come down from the Championship, we're sitting in first division at the moment. Hopefully, not for too long, we can get back up and get the fans behind us. One of the sort of biggest of recent history was when we got into the Challenge Cup final, Brew Cup. And we played Inverness at McDermott Park. That was an absolutely fantastic day, not just for the club, but also for the whole town. Everybody got behind us. But sadly, in extra time, we were very disappointed. Putting it lightly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been very delicately put there, very delicately plucked. Now, I mean, for people who don't know Scotland as well, where exactly are you with Dumbarton? I know you're over on the west coast there, but it's a big old place, Scotland.
Yeah, we are. So Dumbarton's about 17 miles west of Glasgow, and the stadium is just under in the shadow of Dumbarton Castle or Dumbarton Rocks. So we're for the River Leven. Flows into the Clyde. So we're the only professional team sort of this far west. So we've got a lot of fans throughout West Dumbartonshire as well as Argyll and Bute. So we're 10 minutes from Loch Lomond. So if it's not good enough having the castle right on our doorstep, we've also got that beautiful loch as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, do you have any local rivals there? Obviously, I imagine the Glasgow teams are the biggest impact on you.
Clyde Bank were our big rivals back in the day, so we're looking forward to them getting back into the main leagues, and we can rekindle that wee bit of friendly rivalry.
Oh, definitely. Where were they based then? Was that in Glasgow or outside?
No,
or in
Clyde Bank's just about 7 miles up the road from us, it's not quite in Glasgow. So they're our nearest.
Okay, so I would imagine being so close, do you know, as a club now, if we put your director's hat on, do you have to compete with the pull of Glasgow for the supporters? I would imagine the old firm has quite a big impact on what goes on in the town of Dumbarton.
Yeah, it's got a huge impact, and it always has. You know, it would be great if, you know, even just a small percentage of the people we see leaving the town every Saturday going up to Parkhead or Ibrox came to Dumbarton games. But, you know, it's the glamorous teams, the bigger crowds, I think they're wanting to go and see. But yeah, that's the big teams in the West.
It's of course, they do help out Scottish football a fair bit. Whenever I talk to clubs, everyone says about the fact they see fans come, you know, as they're driving to the stadium, they see people going out of the town on the way to Glasgow each Saturday. It's something I was just curious if Dumbarton has the same issue. How big is Dumbarton, if you don't mind me asking?
The population of Dumbarton is now, I'm going to just double check this.
I'm not going to go count them.
Population of Dumbarton. I'm wanting to say 17,000, but I could be wrong, so I'm just double checking. Oh, just 20,560.
Oh, not far out. It's a small place, basically. That's the thing. It's amazing what. I read something recently, you know, sort of the large turnout as a percentage of Scottish population of football. So 20,000, what's your average gates? What sort of attendances do you get there?
So our stadium, we just have one stand, so it holds just over 2,000. So obviously it's different from when we were in the Championship, but before lockdown, we were probably getting maybe a bit, depending on who we're playing. Obviously, if it was Falkirk, Partick Thistle, they'd bring a much bigger support. Mm-hmm. So, but your average game, you're probably talking about 600-700.
That's a good turnout, you know. That's 3-4% of the town coming in, isn't it, on a Saturday to watch a game. And when you got the competition, that's a lot bigger than what, you know, many cities, many towns outside of Scotland would be looking at when you talk in terms of people coming into grounds. I think it's wonderful the communities that size are able to pull on the supporters. Now, it leads me into, you know, sort of what I'd like to just chat about a little bit about is, you know, what is the connection between the people in the town and the club, and vice on sort of, you know, from the opposite standpoint, how does the club support the community? Are there any, you know, good examples of that you could share with us?
Yeah, the club, and I think a lot of people probably aren't aware just of the amount of do for the community, especially just now during lockdown. You know, there's been so much, and it's been great to see. So we've just announced in the last week or so that all under 16s will now get free entry to games. Which is great, because we're obviously trying to encourage more young people to come along to the games. We also support local youth groups, local football teams. Because obviously we can't get to games, we stream our games into some care homes.
Oh, wonderful. That's nice.
For elderly people. Our current sponsors, CNG Systems, they do rail safety inputs at the stadium for local young people, and along with stadium tours. We've also got a partnership with a Dementia and Football Memories group. So that's a group of people who usually meet at the local library, and they go in and they talk about football things, and you know, it keeps them, you know, in groups of people, friends and stuff like that. So
it's nice. It's nice.
We do work with them, and we've obviously offered them the use of the facilities at the stadium because the library is closed at the moment. Mm. We've linked in with the Dumbarton Chamber of Commerce as well to support shop local. So we've got local businesses struggling again during the pandemic. And we also offer free tickets. The West Dumbartonshire Community and Volunteering Group to combat social isolation for people maybe struggling in the community as well. We offer them tickets to games too. And other than that, you know, we've got school groups come in for match day stadium tours. We've got local football team, Dumbarton United. We do a lot of things with them as well. Mm-hmm. So a few of these things have maybe started up because of the pandemic, but we're reaping the benefits, or we will reap the benefits of that when we continue to do it, you know, when hopefully all this is over and we continue these relationships with these people and continue to support the local community.
Definitely. I've been amazed again. It's something I hear time and time again across Scotland, how people are reaching out into the local communities and are seeing that benefit, especially with the younger ones and, you know, people with the additional needs, especially during this difficult time, you know, globally speaking now. And, you know, like say, things like making sure that people who are socially isolated get the opportunity to communicate with others and link up with others. It's a really commendable thing. Now, go on then.
We've also been doing a lot of stuff with the local food banks as well. And obviously, when it was safe to do so, the players were going out and, you know, helping the food banks and things like that. So, although we're in Dumbarton, we also, sort of West Dumbartonshire, we've got, so it's Clyde Bank or O'Kilpatrick, and we've got like Argyll and Alexandria and stuff as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, you know, football, and this is something I personally believe in as well, is, you know, football being such a popular game on a global level has a real role to play in supporting the communities, and especially during this difficult era that we're going through. It's great to see it shining like a beacon in so many parts of the world. I do have to ask you about the castle and the location there. Any story, you know, what's the history of the castle there? Because I know it's right by the ground, isn't it?
It is, and I'm probably quite biased, but the walking down to Castle Road towards the stadium, I don't think there's a better view going to a football game in Scotland, the UK. The castle is magnificent, so the stadium is right underneath the castle, so sometimes you'll see cheeky people maybe going up and having a wee walk up to the top of the castle and then staying up there on a Saturday afternoon to watch the game. So it's the castle was created, or the rock was created 334 million years ago. So it's sits on a plug of volcanic rock, and it's 73 meters high, and it's a long history from the castle. Mary Queen of Scots was kept there for many months in 1548. And the castle on the rock was once a stronghold for the ancient kingdom of Strathclyde, and it's actually the oldest continually fortified place in the British Isles. So I could go on for hours. There's loads and loads of history at the castle. It's stunning.
He's going to kill me now, but I was talking to a guy at Queen's Park back over Christmas, and he's got some absolutely beautiful pictures that he's took with his drone from around the castle, and it's always one that seems to pop up all across the internet. You know, the picture of Dumbarton with the castle in the foreground. You know, it really is one of the great locations in British football to watch. So again, there is a certain amount of jealousy here, I've got to say, talking to you, that you get it on a weekly basis over there. You look very, very fortunate, very fortunate. And the other one I have to ask you as well, because you've got quite a unique badge with the elephant on there. What's going on there with the elephants? Were they, you know, native to Martin hundreds of years ago or something like that?
I would like to say it was something that exotic, but the elephant castle and the badge is really just because certain ways that you look at the castle, it resembles the shape of an elephant.
You didn't used to get elephants walking down Dumbarton High Street or anything like that, did you?
Well, I have seen elephants, but only when the circus has been here.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot now, and I do apologise for this, because you mentioned the Supporters Trust, obviously, that you've been elected onto the board to represent. You know, what's been the impact of the Supporters Trust now? Am I right? You said you sort of established it 20 years ago. Now, what have been the real benefits of it? And as do you feel that because of the fact the supporters have that representation on the board, does that sort of help build the community within the club? Has that sort of helped, you know, sort of bring everybody together, shall we say?
Yeah, the trust works alongside the club, and we do have a good relationship with the club, more so now. When we've started having meetings with the trust board and the club board, and you know, the trust that have always been there, you know, encouraging members, doing fundraisers, as well as the crowdfunder that the club did right at the start of lockdown, and different initiatives just to help engage fans. It's been quite awkward for me because I've only been doing this role for a year, and as you can probably tell, I'm quite chatty. So normally I would be in, you know, during before games, after games, halftime, whatever, chatting to people, getting ideas, because they are, you know, the most important people, the fans, you know, getting ideas, listening to their issues or suggestions or whatever. So we haven't been able to do that face-to-face. So it's just really been keeping them up to date with emails and encouraging them to contact me or any of the other members of the Suns Trust board, you know, if they had anything that they wanted to chat about.
And well, as you mentioned there, sort of, shall we talk a little bit pre-lockdown in particular now? First of all, as a fan now, what sort of supporter groups did you have there? Are they quite noisy? Did you was there an enjoyable atmosphere on a match day, or was it one of the quieter places in Scotland to watch your football?
Not quiet, certainly not quiet. we've actually got a great fan base and a sort of varied age group. You know, you've got people that have been going to games, I don't know, 60, 70 years or whatever. We've got a young group of people. They're fabulous. The Young Sons, they're called. It's a group of young people. Yeah. They're so noisy. You know, they've got their drum, they sing, they chant, and they've got their flags and whatever. Very, very vocal, and it's absolutely fantastic seeing them at the games. They are the future of the club, so we encourage them.
I'm nodding along there because I've heard it a few places, which has been really wonderful to see. Because it is a shame when you you talk to some of the clubs and they're like, yeah, the atmosphere is not the greatest anymore. You know, sort of people reminiscing, and it's so much nicer when you hear people excited about the future of the club that way. And now, obviously, during lockdown, you mentioned briefly there about the trust sort of, you know, making themselves available. Are there any other ways that, the supporters have been engaged with during the lockdown period? What things have you been doing there to sort of help, or has the club been doing to help, you know, sort of reach out to the supporters?
So, I mentioned at the start with the crowdfunders, which raised a good wee bit of money for the club. I set up a club lottery last year to try and raise funds for the club, but also to give something back because, you know, you're hoping somebody's going to win a good wee jackpot. So we've been doing things like that. And as I said, the food banks and making sure, you know, if all the fans are looked after. We had a whiskey tasting.
Zoom whiskey tasting.
I didn't attend, I have to say. I'm not a whiskey fan, but it was very, very popular because we are a sociable club, you know, and normally we would have loads of things planned throughout the year. We've not had anything like that, so doing the Zoom has been a good way of people, again, you know, getting to see faces they've maybe not seen for a while.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the streaming is a big thing as well. That's fantastic for people. Even, you know, people who live maybe in Scotland but don't get to games or get to away games or whatever. So that's been a huge success. So they can still see their team. It's not quite the same, but by themselves, a wee pie and a bovril, and it becomes quite real.
It certainly does, certainly does. You mentioned there the pie and the bovril. Now, you mentioned about being a social club as well. Do you have the bar there on site, or do fans tend to congregate there before the game, or are there any other pubs nearby? I have to ask, is the ground sort of out of town, right? I would imagine you are being by the castle, yeah?
Yeah, so it's not in the town centre, but there's two railway stations. There's Dumbarton East and Dumbarton Central. So if you come off at Dumbarton East railway station and you're coming to a game, there's a pub right there called the Stag's Head, which is popular. But there's also the community suite within the stadium, which you're welcome to use. And as I said earlier, I do the hospitality, so that's a brilliant way to come in, especially if you're travelling quite a distance. Yeah. So if you come in, you know, have your lunch and some drinks, and you know, and before you go out to the game, then all your foot stuff your face even more at half time. So that's a good way. There's quite a few people do that as well.
That's good. Now, it's
we've also got our own. Sorry,
go on now. Let me know. I need to know.
You'll probably like this. I'll actually have to see if we can post it out to the Ukraine for you. But we've got our own ale. Dumbarton Football Club Ale.
Oh man, now you're talking.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to see if I can get a photograph that I can send to you. So there's local brewers near to us. So they've got I'm just trying to find this one. They've got the ale, and you can buy that at the club as well and have a drink of it.
I'll send you
the link to that.
Definitely.
Try it.
Do you send it out around the UK, do they?
Yeah, so we kind of prefer people to collect it just in case, obviously, it's glass bottles, but I'm sure if someone was really wanting it, we could arrange, get a courier or something.
Put it in a box, wrap it up nice and tight.
Wrap it in a scarf, wrap it in a Dumbarton scarf.
Oh, man, there we go. Is this something, again, sort of when I started this series, I didn't ever expect to ask questions like this, but it's something that's sort of cropped up as I've gone around the clubs in Scotland. And you did mention having a pie and a bovril. Now, how good are the pies at Dumbarton? Because every club I go to says their pies are the best.
they're very
proud of their pies. Yeah. Is it the same for you?
Yeah, the pies, they're nice. They're very nice. However, the food at the hospitality is out of this world.
And what do you get there then at the hospitality?
So you various sort of main meals, like your beef or your chicken or whatever, but they really excel at half time with their snacks. So you get your pakoras and your sausage rolls and you know, sandwiches and different nice sort of different tasty things, wee bit of spice. The chef's very good, and he likes experimenting with different. In fact, I had a Kayleigh maybe 2 years ago, and he did the catering at Kayleigh, and they had what were they called? Oh, I've just taken a point. The food was amazing. It was a Scottish theme, so you know, there was great haggis pizza and haggis pakora and your potato scone,
sausages,
so type things.
That's what I like.
So everybody has to come and try the hospitality to see if what I'm saying is real.
Oh wait, we believe you. I mean, for me, it's I personally can't wait. Next time I'm back to the UK, we always talk here, and we want to get ourselves up to Scotland and have a good tour. It's going to be during football season, definitely. We're hoping. We're recording this as, you know, you've had some good news down in League One, League Two today with the return to training, and hopefully the league will start up, I think, touch wood, really soon. by the time this goes out, hopefully you guys will be playing again in the season. It'd be great to get the fans back in as soon as possible, of course. And this probably leads me on nicely to the sort of my final question. Now, for me, it's not just about Dumbarton or any other club. It's about Scotland in general. And, you know, I would imagine it is for yourself as well. When the fixtures come out, Steph, you know, which ones do you look forward to most? Which sort of away games do you think, yeah, I can't wait to go back there again. It's such a fantastic place, such a fantastic atmosphere, or the welcomes, you know, even greater than the rest of the clubs. Or maybe it's just because it's your local rival. You know, is there any, you know, one or two that really stand out for you?
I like getting up to the ones up the sort of northeast coast. Mm-hmm. Because on the journey there, you've got, you know, nice views. You know, it's a great drive up. Mm-hmm. I like going to all the grounds. You know, I can't pick one out specifically. I like travelling to all the grounds and, you know, meeting people. I've not been to any away games yet in my role as director, so that will probably be a slightly different sort of social aspect to it. So
yeah,
more reason to look forward to all the away games and to welcoming them back as well.
Yes. That'll be good fun. Trying to think, you've got Peterhead, haven't you, up north?
That's a big journey.
And Cove, yeah, up there as well.
But actually, one of the best away games I have ever been to was when we played the New Saints in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup down in Oswestry.
Oh, wow.
That was amazing. They were so hospitable. Oh, yeah. What a fabulous club. That was a really, really great, obviously we won as well, but that was a great night.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't thought about asking you about this, but if you'll indulge me, with regards to that club and the obvious, you've got the Welsh teams, the National League teams from England, and it's the Northern Irish. And did they come from the Irish Prem as well?
I'm not sure.
But do you think it's sort of raised? So yeah, we will do. We will. But do you think it's, you know, let me word it this way. With the inclusion of the non-Scottish clubs, do you think it's improved the experience of participating in that cup? As you've mentioned, the away day at Oswestry.
Yeah, I think so. I think there'll be a lot of different opinions on them being in the cup. You know, there may be people who are against it, but I'm for it. You know, and I think anybody who was down in Oswestry that night will be of the same opinion. You know, it's different. You know, if you've been going to football for, you know, decades, you've probably visited the majority of grounds in Scotland. So it's ticking other wee stadiums off your list, you know, in different places to travel to. So, no, I think it's good.
Meeting new people as well, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. New faces and the like. So as long as the welcome's warm and the Bovril's good to go and the like, you know, everyone's a winner at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, that's great. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's been great to learn a bit about Dumbarton. For people listening, if they want to follow the Dumbarton story a little bit more on social media, is there any place they can connect with you or the club?
Yeah, so you've got the Dumbarton FC website. We've also got a good Facebook and Twitter pages, and they're always welcome to contact, you know, anybody at the club, you know, for a visit, you know, if they're inquiring about coming up to a game, anything at all. We're very welcome and always appreciate anybody coming along and new people, as you say, new people to meet, potential fans.
Exactly. Well, 19 miles outside of Glasgow? It's a great stop off for people going up there for the weekend and don't fancy skipping the Old Firm or getting out of the city for an afternoon. So make sure people listening get yourselves over there and tell me how good that castle is. All right. Well, that's it for today, everyone. I'm Adam, of course, at Oakrefot24. You can follow me on all the social media pages as well as or as good old Adam Pate on LinkedIn. But till next time, this has been the 30th episode of our Welcome to Scotland series. Until I'm slightly buzzing from that milepost. Till next time, everyone, though, take care, stay safe, and goodbye for now.